Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. How would you cope if you heard ringing or buzzing, but not from an outside source, but from inside your ears? Well, this happens to me, and it's what many people suffer. It's known as tinnitus. To tell us more about tinnitus and what it is, and if it can be treated, and how you manage it, is Nick Ray from Tinnitus UK, and they join me on the line now. Good evening, Nick.
Good evening, Clive.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening. I've mentioned a little bit about tinnitus, but can you actually explain in greater detail what it is and what causes it, please?
Well, tinnitus is the perception of hearing a sound for which there isn't a corresponding external sound, and this sound can have any quality. It's often called ringing in the ears, but it can be buzzing, it can be whooshing, it can be whining, it can even be snatches of music. We don't know all the causes, but we know that it's often linked with hearing loss, whether that's a permanent loss because of, you know, getting old or noise exposure, or a temporary loss because of congestion due to earwax buildup or a cold or hay fever. There are certain medical conditions that cause it. It's quite often linked to stress and anxiety, but sometimes it just happens out of the blue. There's no hearing loss, there's no discernible cause.
Well, this is the strange thing. It's interesting you say there that there is no hearing loss, because, as I said, I have a touch of tinnitus, and I think it's because, you know, I've been in radio since 1988, and so, you're wearing headphones a lot of the time, and I do make the conscious effort to turn them down. But also, I'm in television studios, or I go to live music venues and things like that, or I'm on stage doing something, and that sound, which is quite powerful for the human ear, is there. And I sometimes wonder whether that's caused the damage. But I went and had a hearing test some years ago, and they said my hearing is perfectly fine, and I've always had good hearing, but I've noticed this tinnitus, or what I believe to be tinnitus, as I've got older. Well, I'm nearly 57, and I've noticed it probably for the last 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, it does get more common as we get older, and we would always suggest to people over about 50 that you have your hearing checked regularly, because correcting any hearing loss is great for your general health, and also means, you know, you can be involved with lots of things. And it also, that first test gives you a baseline, and in the same way that we go and have our teeth checked and we have our eyes checked, it's a good idea to have your hearing checked. I mean, sometimes there can be a physical cause behind tinnitus as well. So, you know, if you are suspecting that you've got it, and basically there isn't any specialist test for it, if you're hearing a noise and nobody else is hearing that noise, then that is likely to be tinnitus.
It is only very faint, thankfully. But what does Tinnitus UK do to help people with the condition?
Well, we run a lot of support and information services. We've got a very extensive website. We have a helpline. We have web chat. We have online and face-to-face network of support groups. We also fund research into the condition and deliver training for medical professionals, but also we have training seminars and webinars on different topics around tinnitus for people living with tinnitus and their family and friends. And we've just come off the back of Tinnitus Week, and our aim there is really to raise awareness of tinnitus, because not a lot of people really talk about it or know the support services are out there, and yet it's incredibly common. One in seven of us are living with tinnitus that's persistent, and one in three of us will experience it at some point in our lives.
What would you say, based on the people that you've supported, is the impact of tinnitus on people?
Well, tinnitus is a very individual condition, and you know, the noises are individual, and people's reactions are individual. So there's a lot of people like you, Clive. It's there, it's in the background. You wouldn't kind of call it intrusive or that it has much of an impact. You probably check in on it from time to time wonder if it is having some kind of effect on your hearing, that kind of thing. But for some people, it's about one in six, it has a really major impact on their quality of life. So it can affect people's mental health and emotional well-being. They can feel stressed or anxious. It can interrupt their sleep. People tell us they have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep. Some people feel very isolated. They might change their behaviour. They might not socialise as much as possible. Or they have problems focusing or concentrating at work or at school because of the noises. And, yeah, you know, there is a big impact on mental health. And that was the findings of some new research that we did for Tinnitus Week. And that shows that 8 out of 10 people who completed the survey said that they were feeling anxious. 7 out of 10 said they were kind of feeling hopeless or helpless. And sadly, 1 in 5 were saying that they had thoughts of harming themselves or suicide in the last year.
That's terrible. From what you've learned from the research, what are you going to do with that data? How can you envelop that within the work that Tinnitus UK does?
Well, we're using this data to show that there's a need for greater support and more resources to be directed towards supporting with people living with tinnitus. Back in 2020, NICE guidelines came out and they spoke of the importance of offering psychological interventions for people that needed it. And that's still at a level lower than we would like it to be. Our survey showed that only 1 in 20 people were actually offered CBT, for example, which we at cognitive behavioural therapy, which we know is a proven treatment that does improve people's well-being. So we're using this to actually show health commissioners, medical profession, just what the impact is and the need for more to be done.
Fundamentally, then, there is no cure, is there?
There is no cure. You know, you can't take a tablet and it all goes away. But there are management techniques that you can use to reduce the impact of tinnitus. And for some people, that actually makes their tinnitus drop to a level that's negligible, really. Or they're kind of aware of it, but it's not a problem. Now, the issue is that sometimes you need to try more than one of these techniques or use them in combination. And it takes a bit of time for these to have an impact. And, you know, while you're doing different things, you know, you're still very focused, still having an impact on your quality of life. So it's actually sometimes as well being aware what these treatments are and knowing where to get help. And that's where we come in.
I've heard stories about people being prescribed antidepressants in order to alleviate this. Is there any truth or augmentation in that?
It's a tricky one, Clive. Some people, because the tinnitus brings on the sort of low mood and the stress and anxiety, will benefit from medication that helps that, in the same way that people who are struggling to sleep, there's a place for sleep medication. There isn't a drug that directly helps tinnitus, but what we have found is kind of low doses of amitriptyline, which is an antidepressant. There's some evidence to show that that can have a benefit, but it's something to talk to your doctor about. It's not something that, you know, there might be indications that you're not suitable or that something else might be better for you.
Do you have any examples of how people cope and live with it?
Well, everybody's different. But I mean, one of the examples that we've been using in Tinnitus Week is John, who was, he developed tinnitus as a result of losing his hearing. And he was really struggling with it, but he was able to access techniques and use management techniques and counselling. And now, actually, he's one of our volunteers and runs one of our online support groups. So people can, you know, turn things around. And I mean, his by no means is a unique case. I mean, there are people that we've been in contact with who've, you know, come onto our helpline crying and at their wit's end. Mm. And then, you know, months later, with a lot of work from you know, on their part and work on our part and on the, you know, the part of the medical professionals looking after them, have actually kind of come through. And, you know, I've had conversations with them 6, 9, 12 months down the line, and they've said, I can't believe I was like that. How did you put, you know, how did you put up with me? How did we get through? You know, so it isn't all doom and gloom. And, you know, our survey was very much a snapshot of how people are at a point in time.
Now, I use noise-cancelling headphones when I'm on the radio, and they're my own headphones, so they go with me wherever I go, and they do help. But even now, while I'm talking to you, my headphones, other than your voice, are desperately quiet, and I can just hear it in, you know, sort of in the background. There was once a theory, I don't know whether there's any truth in this, but you could get noise-cancelling hearing aids for it. Do they work? Are they still available? What do you know about them?
Hearing aids in general will help because they'll bring a signal back into the ear that it's been missing, because the brain is trying almost to compensate for a missing signal if there's any hearing loss. It's a bit like a stereo or a the control panel in your studio. It turns up the internal gain and then focuses on this internal signal. So anything that you can put in, and this is why sort of sound therapy and sound enrichment works, it seems to start resetting that so that the brain is focusing on an external sound rather than an internal sound. There are some hearing aids that actually, as well as doing the sound amplification, will provide some background sound. It's quite often white noise, but some brands produce hearing aids that have like little wind chime or zen sort of sounds, so that you've got the amplification and the enrichment. You mentioned you wear noise cancelling headphones. That's a great idea if you are using headphones or earbuds a lot, because the noise cancelling means that for listening to the signal, like you're listening to me talking or you're listening to the music playback, it means that you can have it at a lower volume so that you're less likely to damage your hearing. And that's always a great thing, particularly if, like with your job and perhaps with people, I don't know, working in a call centre or, you know, they've got a lot of noise going on, that's beneficial because you want to make sure that noise is at a safe level and at the lowest feasible level for you to listen to.
It's interesting you say about the types of noise that will help to alleviate it. For me, it's listening to the sea. Not that I've been to the sea for yonks, but anyway. Or listening to the birds or just, you know, countryside sounds. That really helps as well. It's quite it's strange, but it is effective. But there must be more
It has a relaxing effect as well, and actually controlling stress levels and actively doing relaxation, whether it is listening to beautiful natural sounds like birdsong or the sea or doing breathing exercises, that all helps because you're breaking the link between the stress and the tinnitus. Tinnitus sets your system on high alert, and then when you're on high alert, you're more closely monitoring things. And that includes the noise signal. And if you can ramp down that state of alert, you're on the way to sort of paying less attention to your tinnitus. So, I mean, absolutely, sound of the sea, sound of the birds, anything that you find relaxing. I mean, there are people I know who kind of will play heavy metal at a low volume because that helps. It's whatever,
heaven forbid.
Yeah, it's whatever floats your boat. But, you know, it does come down to this combination of things. So, I mean, you were going to ask if there are other things that you can do. So relaxation therapies are great. The usual advice about a healthy lifestyle. Distraction's good. There's some people do puzzles or blow bubbles or they get really involved in a craft. The hearing is a big thing. If you suspect any hearing loss, or even if you don't, do get a hearing test, because hearing loss is a bit can be a bit invidious. You don't realise what you've lost always because you are compensating. So, you know, hearing aids, background sounds, there's a whole heap of things, and peer support. If you are struggling, go along to a support group or join one online.
What more would you say needs to be done to improve not only the treatment but awareness of tinnitus in this country?
Well, I think we need to do more to get people talking about it because it is so common, and also it's an invisible condition. So like many invisible disabilities, people don't kind of realise what's going on. We've called in our report for increased education for medical professionals because hearing in general and tinnitus in particular doesn't get a lot of time in the curriculum for medical training and GPs in particular. But we're also calling for more resources for specialist support, particularly psychological support. And we also want to make sure there's a standardised pathway so that across the country, wherever you are, you're getting the best practice in tinnitus care and management.
Where can we find out more information, Nick?
Well, if you visit the Tinnitus UK website, which is tinnitus.org.uk, you can find out more about our report, but also more about tinnitus in general and tinnitus management in particular.
It's a fascinating subject. Nick Ray, Communication Manager from Tinnitus UK, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive. That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 6 o'clock p.m. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by me, Clive Payne, and produced by Andy Caddick.